Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to talk about Beautifully Made, the women's conference that's coming up. Emily Liedem and Renee Leach join us to talk about why you ought to consider attending that conference and some of the joys that you might find if you do. So I hope you'll stay around for that. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Lenten Sunday. Renee Leach doing double duty with the readings and Father Darren Schmidt with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Genesis. God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son Isaac, your only one, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you." When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Then he reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he answered. "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." As Abraham looked about, he spied a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he went and took the ram and offered it up as a holocaust in place of his son. Again the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you acted as you did in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you obeyed my command." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? Christ Jesus it is who died, or rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say, they were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the Bonham Knights of Columbus Council number 4002 recently gathered for the annual council feed in advance of one of their monthly meetings. In addition, at the gathering, the council recognized members for their service with the annual council candy sale, fundraiser, and awards for members' lifetime, 50, and 60 years of membership. You can read and see more about the Knights of Columbus and Tyndall in the February edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, The Sectarian will meet the secular in an unusual way with the May 10th debut of the Metropolitan Museum of Art's exhibit in New York entitled Heavenly Bodies, Fashion and the Catholic Imagination. Included will be not only high fashion meant for the taste-making laity, but vestments and accoutrements from 15 different papacies from the 18th to the early 21st centuries. The loan from the Office of the Liturgical Celebrations of the Supreme Pontiff was negotiated over a period of approximately 2 years. It required 8 trips to the Vatican, said Andrew Bolton, head curator of the Metropolitan Museum of Art's Costume Institute. The British-born Bolton said the exhibit will include vestments made for clergy by designers. One example was designed by Jean-Charles de Castelbajac for St. John Paul II to wear on World Youth Day in August 1997. The Reverend Billy Graham, a fiery Baptist preacher who was easily the most famous evangelist of the 20th century and for decades one of the world figures most admired by Americans, died this week at his home in Montreat, according to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association in North Carolina. He was 99. He had suffered from Parkinson's disease for many years, although he continued to lead crusades until 2005 when he held his last one in New York. In recent years, he also suffered from cancer, pneumonia, and other ailments. Reverend Graham welcomed representatives of other denominations, including Catholics, to attend his crusades. In many places, local Catholic authorities welcomed him and formed pastoral follow-up programs to welcome lapsed Catholics who were prompted by the preacher to return to the church. The Reverend Billy Graham was a preacher of God's word, not only in his sermons, but also in the very life he lived, said Cardinal Daniel N. DiNardo of Galveston, Houston, president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Today we pray for the soul of the Reverend Billy Graham to the Lord he so dearly loved and offer our condolences to his family, the Cardinal said in a statement about the passing of Reverend Billy Graham. Every story has a message within, so does every movie, and every biblically based movie as well. With the new movie Paul, Apostle of Christ, Eric Groth, one of the film's executive producers, said it was real important to tell the story of God's mercy. His message of love and life and mercy is so important for us today, Groth said, to an invitation-only audience of about 60 at an advanced screening of the film at the St. John Paul II National Shrine in Washington. Groth is head of ODB Productions, he said, and the initials stand for Outside the Box. The company has made, by his estimate, about 250 short films for Catholic religious education programs and a series of 15 shorts based on each of the 15 sections of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. All I wanted to do in college was play baseball. Then the Lord moved my heart, Groth said. In addition to the film shorts, he also produced Full of Grace about Jesus' mother Mary, helping repair the fractures that developed in the early church. It was written and directed by Andrew Hyatt, who had the same two jobs on Paul, Apostle of Christ. Groth said, Full of Grace, a feature film that wasn't supposed to be a feature film, but one that led to Paul being made. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
All right, Gene, thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Emily Leadham and Renee Leach, who are here to talk about Beautifully Made, the women's conference that's coming up. We have done this a couple of times, but I look back on the calendar and gosh, it's been since before Christmas that we last talked about the conference. So a chance to bring people up to speed on how things are coming for the preparation and maybe a little bit more about why people should be considering it. That's kind of our goal this morning. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
We're so excited.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You still feel good about it?
Oh, it's
better and better.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think we're at the point where the flesh is kind of starting to come on the event, if that makes sense. So as planners, it's a really exciting time because you've had this vision and some basic things. You've reserved rooms, you've reserved speakers, et cetera. But now the fun kind of kicks in and you really get to lay out and put flesh on a vision.
So, Emily, your office of Marriage, Family, and Respect Life, along with Dr. Chris Bergwald's office of Adult Discipleship and Evangelization, yeah, are kind of the co-sponsors, co-workers on this. And then you have this great committee,
yes,
that's working with you, and that's Renee is part of that committee, right?
I am.
Yeah.
A great, wonderful group of women from all over the diocese bringing a wide variety of ideas and thoughts and dreams for what they would like the conference to be. So it's been fun to put it all together and come out with a plan.
We're going to give the date and the registration information now, and then we'll give it again later, so that if, as people listen this morning, they get excited about this, if they haven't already registered, they'll know how to do it.
Yeah, you bet. It's coming up in April. It's April 14th, at the Sioux Falls Convention Center. So registration is at sfcatholic.org/womensconference, all lowercase, no apostrophe.
All women's, one word.
That was,
yeah.
Somebody was really upset about that. Where's the apostrophe in women's? / women's conference. Registration is there. The schedule for the day where you can buy tickets. You can buy an individual ticket or you can actually reserve a whole table. If you have a group of women, your Bible study or even family, sisters, aunts, etc., that all want to come together, that's a way that you can reserve a table. You can all sit together as well. So individual tickets, or you can buy a table.
And again, April 14th, and it's kind of contained in the day.
Yeah, yeah. It's a full day-long conference. We really went back and forth of, is it going to be too much if we do the full day? And we just said, you know, no, we really want this to almost feel like a retreat for women to step outside of the chaos of family life, of work, of whatever, you know, whatever it might be, and to really set a day aside to just come and be fed, to grow. And so we're, I mean, great meals are provided throughout the whole day. Some fun little opportunities to kind of break up some of the talks, some prayer time, etc. So I think the day is going to fly by, but it is a full day, starting around 9 a.m. and ending around 9 p.m.
9 p.m. Yep, with music and treats, chocolate, shopping will be there.
Women's stuff,
and phenomenal speakers and an opportunity to connect with other women who are on the same path that we're on.
It's going to be so good.
And maybe some who aren't, who are curious.
Amen.
Right? I know that's been one of your goals, right? It's not just pat ourselves on the back kind of a day. It's also a bit of an evangelization opportunity.
Absolutely. And I think there's a great article coming out in the Bishop's Bulletin surrounding the Women's Conference. And one of the things, I got a sneak peek at it. Can I say this?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So I got a sneak peek at the article.
Too late now.
And one of the things that I loved that Mary Carroll wrote in this article was that those who are seeking, she included this. It was actually a conversation that she and I had, but talking about how grandmas and moms are going to bring their daughters and their nieces and their, you know, et cetera, the granddaughters, along for this. And I think that's a really beautiful testament. And at the same time, I know, and I've talked to several women that have said, you know, Emily, I thought about inviting all these five different people, and I just thought, I need to go and be fed. Mm-hmm. And that's okay too. And we respect that and understand that. And if that's you, come by yourself. And you're going to find people, and it's you will absolutely be inspired and be fed.
And I think that's the beautiful part about this, and that was the original dream when we started talking about a women's conference. But we've been very purposeful about making sure that everyone would be fed, not just those that are farther along in their faith journey, but also those that are at the beginning of their faith journey, and that everybody would feel comfortable and that there would be something for everybody there. And just the opportunity to connect and to share and to build those relationships with other women.
How important is that, probably for all of us that are on this faith journey, to acknowledge that we're not all at the same place? I think that's hard sometimes for us, because we ought to almost assume that another is where we are, whether we're skeptics or whether we're, you know, tried and true believers. I think that's a struggle for those of us that wrestle with faith issues.
But I think the beautiful thing about that really is that none of us are where we want to be.
Yeah.
And that we are all striving to grow in our faith and in our relationship with Jesus. And what does that mean for me? What does that relationship mean for me? And I think that when we travel the road together, those that are further on the path can guide those that are a little bit farther back on the road. It's kind of like climbing a mountain, mm-hmm. and we're all connected with a rope, and we can pull each other up to where we are and give advice of what works and what doesn't work and guidance along the way. None of us were meant to do this by ourselves.
I recall, and somebody wise said, we're always becoming. And I think that's so mm-hmm. true in the faith life, because we're never there, as you said.
Exactly.
And this is a way to continue the becoming, if you will, regardless mm-hmm. of where you're at.
Mm-hmm. And I think generationally, that's one of the great benefits that we're going to see at this conference. Women of all different ages. You know, I meet with a group of three other women once a week, and we always call ourselves kind of a hodgepodge group, because we're all different ages, all different stages in life. You know, I'm a new mom. We've got grandmas. We've got a gal with young kids in high school, in elementary school. And it has been by far one of the most powerful and fruitful experiences of my life. Like, it's absolutely making me become, I'm becoming more of who I am created to be by looking at my life through them. And vice versa, I think, you know, we're kind of all on these different sides of the same coin, if that makes sense. And I think that's what this women's conference really offers is, number one, it inspires a desire to become who we are created to be. I can become so complacent. And I know in my own life, this group of women is constantly calling me on and calling me out on that and what a gift that is. But then to see ourselves more clearly through the eyes of another, through the eyes of love, I think that's what this is about.
Yeah. The richness of friendship, and even more than friendship in some ways.
Yes, absolutely. That sisterhood, you know, I think that's the best word that I can use to describe it, is kind of a real sense of sisterhood of, you know, women walking together.
And the acknowledgement that men and women may crawl up that mountain in a different fashion, I think is okay. Don't you think?
I agree. And I think that's why, because we talked about that from the very beginning, should this be not just a women's conference? And the reality is women learn differently and women communicate differently, and it's okay. And that's how God created us to be. So I think by having a conference for women acknowledges the fact that God did create us differently and we're fed differently.
We're talking about Beautifully Made, the Women's Conference coming up April 14th. We're talking with Emily Liedem and Renee Leach this morning. Emily, you mentioned the article that's going to be in the Bishop's Bulletin, and if people are looking for that, it's the March issue. Will be out just after the 1st of March, and I really hope people read that because it's fascinating to me. Really, the genesis of this whole thing, this Women's Conference, came from the grassroots.
Yeah.
That's really kind of a remarkable thing.
Yeah. You know, the inspiration for the women's conference was not, hey, let's do a women's conference.
Yeah.
And I love that. There was, like you said, a real grassroots effort of different women throughout the diocese saying, we want companionship. We want sisterhood. We want to walk with one another. And they started doing it. And so these different groups of women that we're walking together, that have been accompanying one another in their journey of faith, becoming more of who they're meant to be through relationship with one another, became an inspiration to say, let's offer something that really fosters that, that continues to, you know, fan that flame, if you will, that continues to breathe air into a fire that's already been lit. And I think that's really what the women's conference is. This has been something Chris Berkwald will tell you that has been kind of on his radar for the last 13 years. And, you know, it's been something that he's been thinking about.
That's a significant radar.
Yes, it's a big radar. It's a really big radar. But the timing was never right. You know, it was something that was right to do. It was a good thing to do, but the timing just wasn't ripe yet. And so once these grassroots efforts in our parishes started to build and these women were walking together and there's this genesis that's moving, it became, okay, now is the time.
And what I like about that, and I think actually Dr. Chris maybe referenced this in the article, sometimes when we do a big gathering, then people go back home and there's...
Now what?
But in this case, because these groups are kind of in a lot of parish, there's a lot of them out there. I'm amazed.
I was surprised too.
Yeah, how many of them are out there? So they can go back home and keep going, if you will.
Yeah, to have that encouragement. And I hope that, you know, if you're listening to this and you're saying, oh, my parish doesn't have anything like that, we're hoping that this conference will also provide some framework, provide some support to help figure out, how do I start something in my parish if I want it? That's what we're here for.
Basically, I kind of feel like this, the culmination of this will be, we're fanning a flame that's already been lit and God is already working. And so it's a matter of putting the right people in the right place at the right time. And hopefully this conference is the time to pull those people together that they can say, hey, I know you. Hey, I know you. Let's go back and let's start a group within our parish.
And sometimes those groups, and Renee, I know you can speak to this from St. Michael's. We happen to be from the same parish at St. Michael's in Sioux Falls. Sometimes those groups come and go as needs change.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't have to be a forever thing.
No, it doesn't have to be. It could be topical. It could be by season. It could be, I think when you're open and obedient to what God is calling and wanting you to do at the time, you let him take the lead and he'll make it into what it's supposed to be.
We should talk a little bit about who's going to help make this day really fun, and that's your guests that are coming in to be with you. Some may be known, some may be not so well known, but they're going to bring some good stuff.
Yeah, we're really excited about our speakers. Emily Stimson Chapman is one that will be joining us. She was just on the being talked about on the Jennifer Fulweiler show. So if you follow Jennifer Fulweiler is a huge fan of Emily. She's a great author. She's a beautiful, beautiful author, actually, and just has an awesome story about kind of God's timing, God's working, God's healing, and really his power in her life that I think is contagious. And then she's also going to talk to us a little bit about being healed and what that looks like. You know, we, every single one of us, I think, carries certain wounds with us, and God wants those. And so that's one of the things that she's going to talk about. And then Sarah Kroger is a musician that's going to be joining us, just a beautiful musician. Several people highly recommended her to us when we were kind of on the hunt and fell in love with her stuff on YouTube and whatnot. So she'll be joining us for kind of an evening concert that's accompanied by prayer. And then Lisa Cotter is our last one. Lisa Cotter really kind of found her place on the Catholic stage, if you will, through FOCUS, through Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And as she has continued to grow and mature, I think her audience has also continued to grow and mature. And she, her particular passion is authentic femininity. You know, as John Paul II coined it, the feminine genius. And mm-hmm. so she's going to talk a lot about what does that mean, which I think is such a topic that's relevant to every age, which is something that we've been very intentional in what we've included as part of preparing them, saying we've got high school girls all the way through kind of the matriarchs of the family. So, a lot of fun, great senses of humor. But then also vendors, by the way, we're so excited about some of the vendors that we have coming. Blessed Is She is one that's going to be joining us. Also, Avera fertility care specialists are going to be there. So whether you're kind of in that fertile period of your life or if you're in that postmenopausal, whatever, just a great resource that's available that really upholds the dignity of the human person through the Catholic lens, applying to women's healthcare. So we're excited about them being there. And that's two of many that are going to be awesome.
Right. We have many breakout sessions that are also going to be available throughout the day for people to attend that will appeal to a broad sense, the matriarch. There's going to be a wonderful speaker coming in for that. And I'm not going to give away any names because some of those breakout speakers and those activities are kind of a surprise right now. But there are some local speakers that are going to be there with us too. So we have, we're very excited that there will be little surprises and little treats throughout the day to keep women engaged and involved and excited about being there for the whole day.
I was thinking about, as you guys were talking, the diversity that comes to something like this, and particularly in a diocese like ours where we have, a lot of rural and mm-hmm. a lot of small town, mm-hmm. and then we have, you know, the more urban area as well. And to appeal and to mix and match all this to satisfy everybody, I guess maybe faith is the common denominator here, and it's okay in that regard.
And I think that's been the gift of the committee. You know, we have one person on our committee that literally gets to our meetings every month coming straight off of the ranch.
Yep.
And, you know, she's got her boots on and her... and
just has fed the cows.
Which is just hilarious.
And then we
love it. We also have a grandma that's been watching baby and drops baby off and comes straight over. And so we just have all of these different representations. A spiritual director, we've got Terry Kemmer, she's a spiritual director in the diocese that's on the committee as well. So I think all of those voices have really brought forward, you know, well, I would be interested in that. Like, that's something that would totally appeal to my type or my age group or my whatever, mm-hmm. Which I think has been a huge benefit of the committee.
Absolutely. I think just the broad variety of interests and experience and faith levels that are even on that committee have really gone to form a really well-rounded conference for everybody. We're excited.
You know, I kind of feel a little excited myself, and I know I'm
not,
real,
wish
and
you
I'm
could
really
be there.
Not welcome to participate. And I get
we
it.
We can find a job for you.
I'm
okay.
Sure we could have you set up chairs or
maybe
something.
Maybe I can be in the very,
we'll get you in.
Very back corner listening. But no, it really that sounds like a terrific day, and I'm really excited actually for this to happen. We'll give the registration information at the end. There's still room, first of all. There's still room.
Yep, there is. We definitely encourage you to get registered as soon as you can, though.
Don't wait. Yep. Yeah. We're betting we're going to sell out.
Wow,
so
that's cool.
Don't wait, but
yeah.
So
get your tickets
time.
Now.
Yeah.
Now's the time.
Now's
yeah.
the time. We're approaching March, so you just get a little over a month to go and give yourself a Lenten treat. Buy yourself this registration. For Lent, and
yes.
then you get something to look forward to in the Easter season.
It's yes. a great Easter gift to give to your daughters uh-huh. or your sister or your wife
yeah.
or your...
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Last thing I want to talk about as we wrap this up today is this is not, I suspect, an end to itself. In other words, you're not doing this just to do this. And again, we know people are going to go back home and do some things, but there's an element of evangelization here too, isn't there?
Oh,
absolutely.
I think there's a real, there's been a real vision. This isn't something that's, well, like we said earlier, it's been a grassroots thing. But it's not the end itself. And we've been very intentional about that. And so we want to really build things in throughout the day that's going to equip women to better go out and to share what they have received throughout the day, to better foster that family life, to better foster what it means to be an authentic wife, what it means to be an authentic mother, et cetera, daughter, employee, wherever you might find yourself. It's not meant to live at the convention center. It's not meant to stay and end at 9 p.m. on April 14th. It's meant to be sent out.
I think it's a movement that's already begun. And again, we are just adding a little bit of gasoline to that fire, maybe. And it'll be interesting to see where God takes it going forward.
I love what you both said this morning. I really appreciate you being with us and talking about this. In particular, I like what you said, Emily, about it's about becoming more who we are. It's never about becoming something we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Our Creator made us in a certain way, and we're just still trying to figure out what that
yeah.
really means, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Become who you are and you'll set the world on fire. Catherine of Siena,
I think just coined that. Yeah.
Perfectly.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Become who you are. Set the world on fire. We
That's
need
our
it.
Goal. That's
we need
our goal.
It.
We're gonna...
There was a Protestant person that just recently told me, I think if Catholics were who they were actually supposed to be or who they said they were, the world would be a very different place.
April 14th, the Beautifully Made. Again, register via the website.
sfcatholic.org/womensconference, all together, lowercase.
All right. Make sure you do it. Emily Liedem and Renee Leach, thanks for being with us this
morning.
Thanks,
Jerry.
Thanks for having us.
That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.